Are you ready for the word today? All right, we'll see. Because today I'm going to dig a little deeper into salvation when we look at these terms, holiness and sanctification. A couple of weeks ago, if you remember, I was talking about salvation. This is part three of the basics that I've been talking about. And I ended that message with three phrases that are very common vernacular, probably out of my norm a little bit, but they're kind of really simple, and maybe you'll remember them, but they were simply these. Grab it, go for it, and give it, right? Church, we need to grab hold of salvation. It's about all about God's love and that free gift that he has. And second, we need to go for it. That's that we live this new life that God has given us. And then give it away. Salvation's gift is not just for you. It is for everyone who will believe. And they need to hear. But today I want to take a closer look at the go for it. At second step, living this new life that we have in Christ. Now here is the basic, I think the key to the message this morning is this. God wants us to live like we are saved. Everybody say that. God wants us to live like we are saved. We are to live our lives differently than the world, differently than when we weren't saved. That's where holiness and sanctification come in. Everyone who accepts God's salvation through Jesus Christ is now to live out this new life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Heavenly Father, help us understand the here and the now and the new. And help us walk it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, when we get hold of God's salvation, he makes us new. Nothing remains the same. The old way of our life is gone, and now we have a new way of living. And this new way of living is a holy life, a sanctified life. Now, listen carefully. If anyone calls themselves a Christian, they've been saved, they're a believer, they should not continue to live a life of sin. We are to live for Christ. Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, these words. We know, did you catch the we know? We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might what? Lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So let me put it in this simple way. If you have no desire to live this new life in Christ, if you do not want to live for Jesus, then maybe you need to ask yourself if you're really saved. If you do not want to live for him. Salvation is more than head knowledge that happens up here in the mind. It's not just an affirmation of somebody's heart. Salvation is a transformation of the mind and then a heart transplant. When you are saved, you are no longer the same. 1 Peter teaches us this. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But when? Now. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. Holy. If you walk away with anything today, could you maybe remember this statement? As God's children, we live holy lives because he is holy. That's the way we're to live. As God's children, we should share resemblance of holiness that comes from our Father in heaven. We should look like him. That's why we no longer live according to the old evil desires. We have been changed. So what is this holiness? What is this sanctification? I want to share just two thoughts with you on holiness today. Holiness is consecration. We're set apart. And holiness is a continual process. So the first one is this. Holiness is consecration. Now, literally, to be holy means to be set apart to God. And sanctification is simply the process of being made holy. Holiness and sanctification are inseparable, church. You really can't have one without the other. Sanctification is how God makes you holy, and holiness becomes the result of God's sanctifying work in your life. Now listen, you cannot consecrate yourself. You can't make yourself holy. I cannot make you. Your pastor can't make you holy. Your parents can't make you holy. It is a work. Holiness is a work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Here's how it started. Through faith in Jesus, God made you holy. Through faith in Christ and His blood that He shed for you, you have now been sanctified. You have been set apart unto God, made holy. Here, 1 Corinthians 1:30. God has what? United you with Christ Jesus. For what? For our benefit, God made Him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and He freed us from sin. That was the work of salvation, to make us holy. Now listen, you need to know that all sin is equally evil to God. Sin is sin. Do you think God weighs out our sin and says, well, that sin may take a little bit more of Jesus' blood to cover that? Or, oh, wow, you know, you really are bad. And I just don't know if Jesus' death is enough for you. Can you imagine? What kind of gospel would that be? It's not true, not at all. Jesus' death paid the price for every sinner who will believe in Him, right? And therefore, they're made holy. Hear this passage in 1 Corinthians 6. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or are abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. But listen to verse 11. Some of you were once like that. You need to understand the scripture because he gives this list of sin as sin. And some of you used to live that way. But look what happened. But you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. What a powerful verse. Some of you used to be like that. You were in sin, but no longer are you like that. Because those people don't inherit the kingdom of God. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were made holy, you were justified by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His Spirit. And the blood of Jesus, and under you are covered by the blood of Jesus and are completely holy before God. It's instantaneous holiness that you got. Holiness, the complete work of God. He positions us as holy through Jesus Christ. We were dead in our sins. But we put our faith in Jesus. So He rescues us from our sin. And at that point, God placed you, positioned you in Christ in these heavenly places. Isn't that beautiful? But now as believers, we should want to and desire to continue to walk out that in holiness. Church, we are to commit, dedicate ourselves to Him and His purpose. And in doing that, we find out, number two, holiness is a continual process. But I want you to be careful not to think, because this is how we think sometimes, that holiness is this slow, long process of forsaking sin little by little. Oh, I'll have to get all that stuff out of my life at some point. No. You need to understand the New Testament theology behind this. In fact, it is pictured in the New Testament as a corpse, one who was dead has come to life. What used to be dead and incapable of doing anything to honor God is now animated with the life of God. Ephesians 2, listen to it. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. For He raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So once again, holiness is this completed work, and God sees us positionally in Christ as holy. But, however, holiness is progressive. It's a process of now our growth and development as we get to know God better and know His Word better. We all started at the same place. We were all sinners saved by God's grace. But we turned from our sin to follow Christ. Now we walk with Him step by step by step. See, what most people want to go is, well, that was my sin life, and I want Christ, and I'll get rid of these things. That's not how it works. I leave this kingdom and step into this kingdom. And now I begin to look at what God is teaching, what God is saying, and I begin to walk that out in my life. Yo, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not. I thought that's the way we're supposed to live. Put His word there. And thy word is a unto my, and a light unto my. Whoa, I thought that word is changing my whole path. I no longer walk in this world over here. These two sections, I don't want to walk with you. No, I feel bad about that. Sometimes I choose a side and you're like, oh, I'm on the bad side. But I don't want to walk there any longer. I want to walk in Christ. I want to live in Him. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow. Does anybody know this word grow? You ever heard that before? I have missionaries with me this morning. They may not know what it is, so can you help me out? What does the G stand for? Man, y'all, I've preached on this for 2 years. G is what? Growing in Christ. R is relating to others. O is outreach to the world. W is worshiping God. We have to grow, but grow is a key word for us. What are we growing in? Am I growing out of sin? No. Listen to what we are growing into. We're growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory. When? Sometimes we read through Scripture and we just like, oh yeah, the glory. I can't wait till I get to heaven forever and all that will be dealt with. No. To Him be glory both now and forever. See, where I'm walking now is my choice because now I want to walk in this holiness. We have to grow. We should be more like Jesus today than we were yesterday. To walk in this holiness has got to be a desire and become your objective. I don't want to live the old life of sin. I want to live for Jesus. Everybody say that. Do you? Listen to Colossians 3. We're about to find out. So if you're serious, this is from the Message. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around who? Christ. Oh, I was looking at my own life and the junk there. Wait a minute, I thought we were to fix our eyes on Jesus. See what's going on around Him, around Christ, because that's where the action is. That's where the change happens. See things from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ and God. He is your life. Paul is basically saying, live differently. Don't focus on the things of this world. Church, I'm telling you, the things of this world lead to sin and to death. But instead, we're focusing on the things of Christ and we live for Him. But holiness for us is going to be a choice. If you love Him, you obey Him. 1 Peter 1:14 says this. The Amplified puts it this way. Live as obedient children of God. Do not be conformed to the evil desires which govern you in your ignorance before you knew the requirements and transforming power of the good news regarding salvation. Church, we are not to live as disobedient children, but as obedient children of God. We have to choose daily to walk and do what our Heavenly Father wants us to do. We have to choose to begin to cooperate with God. Did you know that God has an agenda for you today? He ordained your day. And what would happen if you begin to work with Him and cooperate with Him and see His perspective today? God is not going to force His will on you. He's not going to force His purpose on you. But He will show you the path. He'll light the path and you walk in it. But we have to make the choice to walk in that path. Romans 6 teaches us this. So what shall we say then to all this? Should we continue in sin and practice sin as a habit so that God's gift of grace may increase and overflow? I tell you what, I'll go out and I'll sin today and I'll just show you how great God's grace is. Y'all want me to go cheat on my wife and just show you how God's... Why would I want to do that? Do you see the difference? My thinking is different. I wouldn't choose that because that is not the way I live. That is not who I am any longer. I have changed. I'm now looking to His path, not trying to prove His grace any longer. In verse 2, he says, certainly not. How can we? The very ones who died to sin continue to live in it any longer? Not at all, church. Paul is encouraging us not to make those wrong choices in our life anymore. We've been made alive in Christ, and we've died to sin. So don't live for the devil. Live for God. Live for God. Live for God. It changes our perspective. You're not living for yourself. You're not living for the devil. You're living for our God. I got good news for you. God lives in you, in your life, and He'll help you with all the choices that will come your way. And something else you need to know, holiness is not perfection. You're still going to deal with sinful thoughts. You're going to still deal with sinful influence. But it has to do now with how we handle the influence. It's how we handle the sway and the power of sin that may or may not have its impact upon our life according to our choices. If we do sin, you will feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon your life. But then you repent from that sin, correct? Ask God for His forgiveness, turn away from the sin, and then choose to live for Jesus. That's progressive holiness. Holiness beginning to work itself out in our life. Now, maybe you know this or maybe you don't. Did you know sinners do not have a problem with sin? Have y'all ever ran into a sinner that has a problem with sin? They don't. It's us as believers. Because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit causes us to want to change. They don't have a problem with sin because they're doing what pleases themselves. They're doing what pleases their master, the enemy, Satan, the devil. And he isn't giving them too hard of a time, but he is pulling them down little by little. But church, we will continue to war against sin having a place in our life. That is a battle we're going to have to fight. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians as he's teaching this church. He says, God's will is for you to be holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. That each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor. Not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. See, we know God, we know his ways. So never harm or cheat a fellow believer in this matter by violating his wife. For the Lord avenges all such sins, as we have solemnly warned you before. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, listen to this, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now, if you think, wow, it's impossible to live a holy life, really, then you've missed the point today. We will grow in our holiness as we begin to search out his word, as we begin to seek his face. I know that none of us are perfect. All of us, though, can desire to live for him more and more and more. And I know that by ourselves we're doomed to fail at this. But Jesus did not leave us alone. He sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us and to guide us in the truth, to direct our lives, to cause judgment upon our own lives, to say, I shouldn't be doing those things. To even among the church, we have to judge one another every once in a while and say, hey, what's going on? And keep each other in tune with how we're to live. We have the power now of the Holy Spirit guiding and directing us. Hebrews 12:14 says, work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Church, sin has no place in heaven. So sin should not now dominate or control us while we're here. Holiness is that condition that's going to happen in heaven. Why don't we apply it and work on it here? Why don't we work out our salvation? Now, in no way do I mean, and hear me clearly, that we earn our way to heaven. We are saved by grace and grace alone. But because I am saved, I'm going for it. We are a holy people. We don't get legalistic. It's by faith in Christ that God has positioned me and put me in a place where I am holy. So if the rapture takes place and I'm walking in him, I'm holy because of Jesus. But now he's empowered me as I live on this earth and I walk through the Holy Spirit to progressively begin to walk in holiness and grow and be sanctified. I want to be holy because he is holy. I want to live for Jesus.